TV.
All right, we're going to talk about a little bit of everything today. I want to talk about Trump and Musk. I mean, Elon Musk, the techno whiz, joining Trump, the political whiz. I mean, can you say beast and false prophet? I mean, I don't know. It's looking pretty juicy, especially that we know that as the beast arises, the beautiful, whitewashed, do-gooder beast. Remember that? Remember what I told you? You're going to enjoy everything that's about to happen. It's going to be good. Only an insane person would resist it and say it's evil. It is not yet the beast. It will become that. It is in formation. But I'm not saying that either Donald Trump or Elon Musk have any evil intentions. I know for sure not Trump. Other people might be looking sideways at Elon Musk, but I haven't thoroughly studied the man. I just know that there must be at some time down the road when the whole world joins in this marvel, people will be cataloged somehow. And some people think that, you know, the mark of the beast will be the X. Speaking of Elon Musk's social media platform, formerly Twitter. It's all very interesting. It could be. I mean, I'm a big picture guy. I'm not a guy who enjoys getting in the weeds on this. I like keeping the big picture. I don't want to get lost in the detail. And I'm not interested in the detail. I mean, I will go down two or three levels. But after that, we get into some weeds, and I'm not a weeds guy. Safe to say that. How about this? I like details. I just don't like weeds. So I'll keep the big picture for you. And this is how I see it. And again, I don't see this thing starting over. Like, we're going to have a whole new cycle after this. This is going to run its course. This is not it. This is not the end time scenario we've been looking for. There's going to be a whole nother cycle going on, and maybe in another 100 years there'll be another great man who will be the most popular, most powerful man in the world, who will do righteous things in the wake of a disastrous, destructive administration. And there's going to be, you know, the technology, even though they're now experimenting, they've implemented buy-sell technology with marks on the body. Injections, in fact, underneath the skin. Just incredible stuff. And who's the best guy for this besides Elon Musk? I mean, it is the most unlikely combination. And what is even more fantastic is Elon Musk endorsed Trump like minutes after the assassination attempt in Butler, Pennsylvania. That little creep that shot Trump, that little creep really set something astounding in motion. A complete tool, a complete idiot who was convinced he was going to destroy the great man and wreck the world, and he instead could possibly have been singularly responsible for making Trump the president, because it was that assassination attempt and that iconic photo of Trump rising up after being hit with a bullet, blood streaming down his face. You couldn't have scripted this any better. And some people think it is scripted. No. Truth is stranger than fiction. Next thing they're going to tell you was it was done in a soundstage in Los Angeles. I mean, just okay. No, no, no. Truth is stranger than fiction. Trump stands up, pumps his fist. Even the Facebook guy says, what's that guy's name? A little space alien. I mean, that's the most badass thing I've ever seen. But of course, they're all crowing up to Trump now because they know that in the past they have been guilty of kowtowing to the government, these social media giants. They did what the government told them to do. So it is just all fascinating. And again, I think the only way you stay on track here is to keep the big picture in mind. Now, there were two objections. One from Christopher Perry and one from Ambassador of Conciliation. And I don't know who Ambassador of Conciliation is. I think I know who it is, but I forget. But anyway, I am thankful for these two objectors. These are objections that say, well, Trump can't be the Antichrist. And Christopher Perry, he's the guy who put together the greatest hits videos from Return to Sender and MZTV. Great believer, good friend of mine. Met him, Christopher Perry, and then Ambassador of Conciliation, whoever that is. They both have different reasons. Christopher Perry says, well, Trump can't be the Antichrist. Well, okay, Christopher, why not? Well, because Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that we're the detainer and we stop him from being unveiled. So the Antichrist can't exist yet, can't be here yet, because we have to be gone before the Antichrist is unveiled. We're the detainer, but okay, let's look at that word unveiled, shall we? Yes, and we are going to do that. Ambassador of Conciliation says, well, DJT can't be the man of lawlessness because Daniel 11 says he comes from a kingdom north of the land of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have ever read Daniel chapter 11, I feel sorry for you. Even when I read A. Enoch's book, Concordant Studies in the Book of Daniel, I got to this section and I just bogged down so bad that I started talking like this for no apparent reason. I couldn't handle Daniel chapter 11. It's the details of it are, well, they will bog you down something terrible, something fierce. Now, I will say something shocking. Go ahead, read Daniel chapter 11 on your own. Go to the Concordant version of the Old Testament, which you can find at concordant.org. And I'm going to say something very controversial. I don't believe that this is a prophecy about the Antichrist, even though there's a section there that talks about the abomination of desolation. I think it's one of these things where, like in Matthew 24, where Jesus talks about the Jews leaving, finding help in the wilderness. And people say, well, that happened in 70 AD. Yes, it did happen in 70 AD. They were told to flee to the hills. They would be sustained. And it's also going to happen in the last days before, during the tribulation. Same thing with these seven ecclesias prophesied of in the unveiling chapter 2. These ecclesias, except for one, according to my research, existed in the first century, which causes the preterists to say, well, see, this isn't prophecy in the future. This all happened in the past. And yet, John sees these things after he is taken to the Lord's day. And so I believe that these ecclesias will exist again because John's taken to the future in the Lord's day. And just because they existed in the past doesn't mean they won't exist again. I wasn't even planning on explaining this yet, but okay, I'll go ahead and do it. As far as Daniel chapter 11 goes, it talks about the abomination of desolation and this terrible man. It sounds just like the Antichrist, but it's not the Antichrist. It may be, it is, it is a forerunner to the Antichrist. It is a harbinger of it. It's a microcosm, you might call it, or a dress rehearsal. That's what I like to call it. I like to call the events of 70 AD a dress rehearsal for the big tribulation. For people to say, for these preterists to say, that the sacking of Jerusalem by Titus in 70 AD was a fulfillment of everything written in the book of Revelation. That is literally insane. Literally insane. I mean, you just have to allegorize the entire book of the unveiling, which is an insult to God, because he's able to say what he means and to mean what he says, allowing for figures of speech and visions. You have to be very careful in Revelation. I did an entire series. It took 3.5 years to expound upon Revelation. It's called Zender on Revelation. If you go to my homepage, martinzender.com, scroll down a little bit, you'll see Zender on Revelation. 800 shows. I commented on every single verse. So you go to that link and you will see archives on the top, and you hit archives and you'll see the titles of all 800 shows. Just scroll and scroll, scroll, and you'll be amazed. There was a king. Daniel 11 talks about the king of the north and the king of the south. And according to the ambassador of conciliation, this king of the north was from a land north of Israel. And many interpret this king as the man of lawlessness. And I just don't see it. I don't see it. It's a dress rehearsal, but it's not the guy. So this does not preclude DJT from being the Antichrist. And but let's just say that Daniel chapter 11 is speaking of the Antichrist, and let's say we're going to insist that DJT, Donald J. Trump, is the Antichrist. Wendy Mirth made a great comment. She says Trump is of German-Scottish descent, so his family is from the north of Israel. And that's the ambassador of conciliation's whole point, is that according to this chapter of scripture, Daniel chapter 11, according to this prophecy, the Antichrist, if this is indeed talking about the Antichrist, I don't think it is, but let's say it is, he has to be from a land of the north of Israel. Well, Donald Trump is from a land of the north of Israel. His descendants are Scottish and German. And J.K. Bell has pointed this out as well. Go to the comments of the last couple shows. Look at, and I appreciate these brothers, Christopher Perry and Ambassador of Conciliation. I appreciate these brothers for bringing up these points. They need to be looked at. And we're going to go look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 today on MZTV. I never introduced myself, but you probably figured this out by now. I'm Martin Zender. Welcome to the show. So, you know, and some people say, I don't know why, but some people say the Antichrist has to be a Jew. Where do you read that? But who's to say that Donald Trump isn't way back a Jew? Oh, as I was saying, read J.K. Bell's, our sister in Christ, commenting on Christopher Perry's comment and Ambassador of Conciliation. Look at her comments. She has a suggestion there of where to find more information about. Now, I'm not sending anybody there. I haven't looked at this. She said there's some guy online. The only thing that troubles me about it is it's mainstream, but he has all this, quote, proof that DJT is the Antichrist. I'm not looking at any of that, folks. I am not getting my information from any other internet source. Not from this person that J.K. Bell mentions, not from anyone. I'm basing this solely on Daniel chapter 7, that the Western beast is a religion, and that religion and politics have to mix, and that leftism is not godly, and so it can't be this religious mix added to it. And so for 25 years, I've been looking for a strong person to arise out of the conservative ideology of governing, because that is the party, that is the ideology that religion aligns with and that religion attaches itself to. And in a video last week, I talked about conservatism being a host for the bacteria, the virus, if you will, of Christianity. And this is a fulfillment, I believe, of the prostitute riding on the wild beast in Revelation chapter 17. Easy stuff. Simple stuff. Anybody have any questions so far? Okay, great. Before I go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, someone said something to me that made a whole lot of sense. It's these YouTube shorts. These things are so addicting. When you go to YouTube, they present these little short videos. They're vertically oriented rather than horizontally oriented, and you just flick through these things. They're between 30 seconds and 1 minute, and they're freaking addicting. Now, someone has already put some of my videos, taken excerpts from some of my videos and put them as shorts, And I don't know how more of this can be done, but I think this is a great way to bring more people to the channel. Now, I don't know if somebody wants to dedicate their lives, no, just dedicate some of your time to taking some of my best videos, finding 30-second clips that are just killer clips. This is hard. It's hard to go through videos and find the heart, find the most controversial, the most exciting, the most articulate thing I said. I'm sure it's there somewhere. I must be articulate somewhere here and there. In a 30 minute video, I have to be articulate at least maybe four and a half minutes out of the 30 minutes. There's got to be something there. If you find three clips or something and maybe research how to promote this channel using YouTube Shorts, how to promote this channel, how to bring people, because not everybody wants to watch a 30-minute video. You folks do because you're hardcore. Not everybody wants to do that. So we reel them in with short, quick, fast, funny, or serious, or heartbreaking, or just the essence of a presentation. Even if you only find one-minute clip in a 30-minute video, that's gold. I got 2,800 videos out there. So that's 2,800 shorts. If there's only one short per video, but I'm sure there's more than that. Try not to give myself too much credit here, but if somebody wants to do this, just contact me or contact my sister in Canton, Ohio. And I mean, and I'm talking about somebody who can really dedicate themselves to it to figure out how to do it best. If Elon Musk is listening, is watching this show, Elon, if you want to do this, you know, part-time, besides your job of making government more efficient, then great, I'll accept your help. But for now, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2, and let's consider Christopher Perry's objection. Amen. Chapter 2, verse 1. We are asking you, brethren, for the sake of the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and our assembling to him, that you not be quickly shaken from your mind, nor yet be alarmed, either through spirit or through word or through an epistle, as through us, as that the day of the Lord is present. The day of the Lord is a tribulation. These Thessalonians were suffering so much persecution, they thought the tribulation was here. Imagine that. Imagine that. We're looking for it to start in the year 2024. They're in the year 56 or whatever, and they're looking for it to start. This thing has to start sometime. It has to. Paul says no one should be deluding. I mean, Paul doesn't say they're crazy. He just explains it to them very, very, very practically. He says no one should be deluding you by any method, for should not the apostasy be coming first, and the man of lawlessness be unveiled, the son of destruction. So before the tribulation starts, the man of lawlessness has to be unveiled. Okay, we're not looking at the word unveiled yet, but I will very soon. And I don't know why I started talking like this. It just seemed like the right thing to do. Now, the man who is opposing and lifting himself up over everyone turned to God or an object of veneration, so that he is seated in the temple of God, demonstrating that he himself is God. Put that on hold for a second. Going back to 11th chapter of Daniel, which to me is like the most complicated, boring. I mean, it's fantastic because it's prophecy that came true. But I'm looking at a commentary here that describes this chapter as a brief prediction of the setting up of the Grecian monarchy upon the ruins of the Persian monarchy. The Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, these were world empires. And this is looking at the setting up of the Grecian monarchy upon the ruins of the Persian monarchy. It's a prediction of the affairs of the two kingdoms of Egypt and Syria, south and the north, with reference to each other. The rise of Antiochus Epiphanes, and his actions and successes. It's an exact description of this guy, Antiochus Epiphanes. I mean, Epiphanes, who was a Greek Hellenistic king who ruled the Seleucid Empire from 175 BC until his death in 164 BC. The guy couldn't die soon enough for me. He was a son of King Antiochus III the Great. I don't care about this guy. I so don't care about this guy. But this must have been a spectacular prophecy, because there is no more detailed prophecy in Scripture than Daniel chapter 11. But it's not detailing our Antichrist. It's detailing this nut job. It's a prophecy concerning this Antiochus Epiphanes, who was just a nut job of a king. Can't stand this guy. His eccentric behavior and capricious actions during his interactions with common people, such as appearing in public bathhouses and applying for municipal offices. Can you believe this guy? Appearing at the public bathhouses and applying for municipal offices led some of his contemporaries to call him Epimanes. Can you, a wordplay, which means the mad. Man, the guy sounds crazy. He's born around 215 BC. I don't care. I don't care anything about this guy. He was an extravagant ruler. I don't care. So if you want to read Daniel chapter 11, go to it. Good luck. And if you want to look up this amphetamine guy, you can do that on Wikipedia. Okay, back to the good stuff in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul says, don't think that the tribulation started. That is, the day of the Lord is present. Because the man of lawlessness has to be unveiled. And they might have answered, okay, Paul, how do you know the man of lawlessness hasn't been unveiled? Here he goes. Paul says, verse 6, you are aware what is detaining for him to be unveiled in his own era. For the secret of lawlessness, I've talked about that before, taught about the secret of lawlessness. It's that lawlessness is disguised as righteousness. The secret of lawlessness is already operating. Only when the present detainer may be coming out of the midst, then will be unveiled the lawless one. And it's not this amphetamine guy, whom the Lord Jesus will dispatch with the spirit of his mouth and will discard with the advent of his presence. So Paul says, the tribulation can't start until the apostasy, which has been going on, started in Paul's day, it's going on, and the man of lawlessness be unveiled. But the man of lawlessness can't be unveiled until we're snatched away. So Christopher Perry says, Zender, if you think DJT is a good candidate for the man of lawlessness, he can't be, because we're still here. And the man of lawlessness isn't unveiled until we're off the scene. My question is this, and I'm not sure anybody can answer this question, including myself. What is meant by unveiled? I noticed that Christopher, when he's bringing up this objection, doesn't use the concordant word unveiled. He says revealed. But I think there's a difference between revealed and unveiled. I believe the Antichrist can be revealed, but unveiling speaks of a formal. Unveiling speaks of almost like a ceremonial, formal announcement or demonstration. And indeed, Paul goes on to say, let's go back to the unveiled of verse 3. No one should be deluding you by any method, for should not the apostasy be coming first, and the man of lawlessness be unveiled, the son of destruction, who is opposing and lifting himself up over everyone turned to God or an object of veneration, so that he is seated in the temple of God, demonstrating that he himself is God. I believe this is the unveiling. I believe that this, when he, as soon as he's seated in the temple, the false temple, declaring that he himself is God, that is the unveiling. That is the formal, the official. It's not going to be a literal announcement, but it'll be the official, use the words in the scripture, demonstration that this is the man of lawlessness. So we can know, in other words, we can watch the rise of this person, and he can be revealed to us without being unveiled to the world and indeed to the universe at large, by means of this astounding demonstration in the temple of God. And again, this declaration that he himself is God. He's demonstrating that he himself is God. We picture him going in there and saying, I'm God. That's not a demonstration. Those are words. It's a demonstration that he's God. It's not going to be so obvious as I'm God. That's how we've pictured it in the past. No. None of this is going to be really obvious except to those astute, those with the Spirit of God in them who really want to know these things. That is us. God reveals these things to us. That's what Revelation is for, to reveal these things to us so that we will know. This is what 2 Thessalonians is for. Paul's giving them clue after clue after clue. This has to come first, then this, then this, then this. And it's the word unveil, not the word reveal. I think I've made myself clear. Have I? Good. I kind of thought so.